Blog Talk Radio.
For the things that God has for us. He has a plan, and he has a purpose for us, and he wants us to walk in that divine plan and that divine purpose, to walk in his divine blessing. Now let's look at Psalms 56 and 8. We're going to go over to Psalms, the 56th chapter. And we're going to look at the 8th verse. Turn to Psalm 56. And verse 8. We see in the previous scripture that David prayed so much till he soaked his couch. He soaked his pillow with tears, crying out with a repentant heart. But in Psalm 56 and 8, it says, "You number and record my wanderings, but my tears you put into a bottle. Are they not in your book?" God says he puts your tears in a bottle. So just think about that. God knows every tear, and he has it in a bottle. He says, then shall my enemies turn back in the day that I cry out, and this I know, for God is for me. So know all the tears that you're crying out. Even it says here, David says, and then shall my enemies turn back in the day that I cry out. This I know, for God is for me. So when you're crying out with godly sorrow, he is right there, and he's right there for you, crying out as you cry out to him, as Jesus cried out to the Heavenly Father. That's Psalms 56 and 8. Now let's look at Psalms 42 and 3. I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams. I'm live from Korea. The first half of the show, you may be coming in the middle, but we're talking about the litany of tears through the scriptures, coming to God with a broken and contrite heart. And we previously, in the last 15 minutes, we've talked about those that are mourned, that they are blessed, and God's favor is up on you, and you have the peace and joy. We talked about how Jesus wept, and even God, how God heard him, and how David, he cried out in Psalms 56 and 8, and God said those tears were in a bottle. He knows your tears, and joy is coming in the morning. Psalm 6 and 6, it says, David cried so much till his pillow and his couch was soaked. But in Psalms 42, let's look at Psalms, the 42nd chapter. In Psalms 42, the 42nd Psalms, rather, and Let's look at Psalm 3, verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? You may feel like that you're under scrutiny. You may feel like that God is not there. He's crying out for inner thirst for God. He's crying out for the living God, saying, when shall I come and behold your face, O God? He says, my heart longs, my heart as a deer panteth for water by the brook, so I pant and long for you, O God. That's what he's saying today. He wants you to long for him, to thirst for him, to hunger for him, to cry out until your pillow soaks. That's some crying. Until your couch soaks. He will take you into the holies of holies, into the inner presence, when you're crying out and yearning for the things of God and the things that God has for you. This is what he said, this is my food, day and night, while men are saying to me all day long, where is your God? Coming to God with a broken and contrite heart can take us to a whole nother level in the spirit realm, and at the same time, letting the light of heaven shine on our soul, and anything and everything that's not like God, it's being removed, transformed in our spirit man, being cleansed. Purification comes with the tears, and in that, your joy will be complete. And the scripture says you're going to have the favor of God. In Matthew and Luke, for those who mourn, you're going to be cleansed. You're going to be filled. And God knows every tear. He knows every hair on our head. And just think, he knows every tear. He has it in a bottle, and it says it's recorded in heaven. Wow. That's powerful. God is able. If man can have computers and record things, almost seem like in infinite, what more can God do? And his word is truth. So as we look at Psalms 119, I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams, and we're talking about lifestyles for a lifetime holiness. And through a litany of tears and through a repentant heart, this is a form of prayer that God can meet us in an area where we can cry out and have a cleansing within our heart, our soul, our mind, our body, and receive the fullness and the blessings of God. 119:136, it says, streams of water run down my eyes because men do not keep your law. They hear it not, nor receive it, love it or obey it. So here we see where David in the Psalms, he's crying out for the things that God desires. And that is for men to receive, to love God's word and obey it and hear it. But they're not doing it. So how much does it grieve the Holy Spirit and grieve God? David had God's heart. He cried out. Even as Jesus said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long as a mother hen would spread her wings and put her chicks. But you don't want to come. You don't want to listen. You don't want to hear. God's heart is aching. He's wanting some of us to cry out, all of us, for the nations. And even the scripture said, if we humble ourselves and pray, that's even humbling as a form of humility, crying out, seeking God. He can change the things that over our countries, by us crying out, we can receive the blessings. He said he'll heal our land. He'll heal our nation if we just humble ourselves and pray and seek his face. He's just waiting. He's waiting on us. He's saying, are we willing? What you're requesting from God and the intercession of what someone else may be waiting on, it may just be a tear away for you crying out on their behalf, or someone crying out on your behalf, or you crying out on behalf of our nation, of the world. You know, Jeremiah, he was known as the weeping prophet. And that's what the book of Lamentations was about. But let's quickly look at Jeremiah 9 and 1. I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams. You're listening to Lifestyles for Lifetime Holiness. We're doing a year series on prayer. And for the last 3 weeks, we have been talking about examining our hearts. The two aspects of prayer is like two sides of a door. The prayer that examines, it produces us looking on the inside, letting the light of heaven shine upon us, and coming to God with a broken and contrite heart. In Jeremiah 9 and 1, it says, oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a reservoir of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. So Jeremiah, he is crying out. And that's why he's known as the weeping prophet. He said reservoirs of tears. He wept day and night. What are we as intercessors standing in the gap? God is saying, are we willing? Through our prayers, things can change. Lives can be changed. Nations can be changed. He's just waiting. Even a family member's, their salvation and them coming to the Lord can just be a tear away, a cry away of you crying out on their behalf. Let's turn over to Lamentations 2 and 18. In Lamentations 18, it's the hearts. And in here it means of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They cried out to the Lord. And then it says, and then Jeremiah says, then to the congregation, and I, Jeremiah, cried. What he was doing was addressing the wall as its symbol. And he goes on to say, O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river day and night. Give yourself no rest. Let not your eyes stop shedding tears. So these are the prayers that we see throughout the scriptures. And there's several aspects of prayer. There may be meditation. And one of my styles is just, I like to listen and meditate in silent prayers. But sometimes there's time for warfare prayers. We're praying in the spirit. listening and hearing God, praying the word. But there is a season for everything. There's a time to laugh, and Ecclesiastes says, and there's a time to cry. But now is the time to serve the Lord. And as we continue our study, we're going to talk about the value of the prayer of tears and the practice of the prayer of tears. So let's look at two more scriptures where we see Isaiah, where he is crying out to God. So as we start off with Apostle Paul, we've talked about Jesus, we've discussed David, we blessed are those who mourn, we looked into the Beatitudes, Jeremiah, now Isaiah. God hears the prayers of the righteous and those that cry out and call out on behalf of others. And even today, if there's something that is just really disturbing your spirit, God might want you just to cry out to him today and just to say, Lord, I need your help. God, I need you to show me what to do. He's concerned about every situation. Maybe there's someone that's listening today and you're concerned about your health. God says you can just cry out to him because he's your healer. Maybe it's financial. God says, I am more than enough that I am your provider. And the provision shall be seen when you cry out to me and when you trust me. Maybe you're a missionary and you want to cry out for your nation. You can be the one that stands in the gap that can change that nation for going and being a part of destruction. Are you willing to cry out like Jeremiah? Are you willing to cry out with a repentant heart? He's waiting on us. In Isaiah 16, and let's look at verse 9. It says, therefore I, let's talk about Isaiah, will weep with the weeping of Jazer. For the vines of Sibma, I will drench you with my tears, O Heshbon and Elealeh, for upon your summer fruits and your harvest, the shout of alarm and the cry of the enemy has fallen. Isaiah wept with the weeping of Jazer for the vines of Sibma. What are you crying for? he said, I'll drench you with the tears. Maybe it's the harvest. Maybe we need to shout out and cry out with an alarm and the cry of the enemy because the enemy has fallen upon our nations. He's looking for the weepers, the criers, those that are willing to mourn and cry and have a heart and compassion for what's going on in our world. And we just pray now that you will not be desensitized, but that some of you, even in this very moment, that God would bring restoration and soften your stony heart, that you can have a heart of flesh and you can desire the things of God. Some of you haven't cried in years. God is saying today, cry out, because that's where your deliverance is. That's where your healing is. That's where the desire is. That's when you stand in the gap. Maybe it's for the family member. God just needs you to cry out into the atmosphere, the hemisphere, and the stratosphere and say, oh, God, so that the angelic hosts can come forth and break open the heavenly. But he said, you haven't cried, called him. He's waiting for us to cry out on behalf of others. and even for you to go to next level. Even your breakthrough is in your tears. He's just waiting on you because your breakthrough is in your tears. We know that Job went through a lot. And a lot of it was lack of faith. But we all need to cry out to God and have repent and walk in the divine blessings of God. He says in Job, and we'll look at 16 and 20, he says, my friends scorn me, but my eyes pour out tears to God. Maybe you're in a dark room feeling all alone. And maybe you're singing that somebody done me wrong song. Maybe you feel like there's nothing else or no one cares. But God is saying he's there to hear. He's there in every situation, every circumstance. He knows all about it. And just we pray just for a release and breakthrough in the spiritual realm, that you might release the flood of tears, that you might soak your pillow tonight, you might soak your couch today, as David did, crying out for the things of God. As our brother Job, he said, my friends scorn me. You may feel like you have nobody. But he cried out to God. He says, my eyes pour out tears to God. Jeremiah wept. Jesus, he cried out for Jerusalem. He cried out on behalf of the people. And he was God in the flesh. And we're Jesus with skin on. The Holy Spirit lives within us, reaching the lives because he's passed that mantle to us. Are you going to share the love of Jesus? Are you going to cry out on behalf of others? So I want you just to take time to look up tears and crying. And what does that really mean to you to cry? When is the last time that you really, really cried out? I'm Dr. Gwen. If you're listening to Lifestyles for a Lifetime Holiness, we are talking today about coming to God with a broken and a contrite heart. There is value in the prayer of tears. And what it does, as I close, and we'll continue here next week, it leads to a heartfelt contrition. If we have a heartfelt contrition within our spirit, our whole life can change. You know what? Even I'm getting this in the spirit. Some of you who've been feel like you've been suffering, or you've been sick. God's saying there's things you've been holding in. There's things you've been holding on to, and he's wanting you just to let it go. Maybe there's some sin that you've committed. God said he just wants you to cry and be sorrowful for the sins, the sorrows of others, not just only for what you've done, but even cry out on behalf of the sins that others are doing. But when we continue to sin and we don't cry out, we can be turned over to reprobation where we don't know right from wrong. But God, he wants to make your heart tender today. He wants us to repent for the sins of others and release them to be forgiven and set free. and healed. And I'm going to close with this. If we could look at 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. And all of us know it, but it bears for us to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it, and also to look at it from the scripture. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek, crave, and require of necessity my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. God has given us the baton. He's given us the tools. And it's up to us to say, Lord, here I am. It's up to us to cry out on behalf of our nation and on behalf of others. And God is saying, are we willing today to make that transition? Are we willing to spend time in prayer and crying out to him? He's just waiting on us. The greatest ability that any of us can have is just to be available and to say, Lord, here am I. And this is going to be my closing scripture. Nehemiah 11, 4. Let's see. And we will read Nehemiah 1, I apologize, and we'll go 4 to 11. When I heard this, I sat down and wept and mourned for days and fasted and prayed. He was constantly before God of heaven. And I said, O God of heaven, the great and terrible God, who keeps covenant, loving kindness and mercy for those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear now be attentive and your eyes open to listen to the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you day and night for the Israelites, your servants, confessing the sins of the Israelites. He's confessing their sins, which we have sinned against you. Yes, I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you, and have not kept the commandments, statutes, and ordinance which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember earnestly what you commanded your servant Moses. If you transgress and are unfaithful, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though you're outcast in the farthest part of the heavens,